Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Throw a lot of passes to guys over 300 pounds in your career?
Yeah, it's my first one. You know, I'm proud of V-Lo. I think, you know, some trickery, I think that kind of gets lost in the NFL. You know, some trickery, misdirection, little things like that. I think you fool these guys in the end zone.
Got good hands for a big guy?
Yeah, good hands. Yeah, he caught them all week. So I try to give him a nice pass. I think hopefully my mom probably could have caught it.
Put that on a shirt. Hopefully my mom could have caught it. I mean, he was so wide open, it was borderline criminal. And it was wonderfully thrown, wonderfully drawn up, and wonderfully executed, Andy. That was one of the highlights of the day. What do we call him now? Do we call those thick six? No, that's a pick six from a defensive lineman. Do we call those big guy touchdowns now because it's triggering to call them fat guy touchdowns?
Yeah, I don't think you need to call him fat.
Well,
big-boned.
He's large. He's overweight.
Oh, now he's a largo?
Yeah, he is. He's a large person. He's a big person.
It's a job requirement. It's a prerequisite.
I understand. But, you know, you don't have to. People, you know, don't have. It doesn't matter. Why are we getting into a sizing issue here? I'm just wondering if people are going to come after me if I say, like, oh, that was a great. We used to call him fat guy touchdown. So what? Big guy touchdown, whatever it was.
Big.
Well drawn.
XL.
Well, XXXL. Yeah. Probably more like it. Chops is a Husky TD, okay? How about that?
Ooh, I like it.
That was one of the nicer parts of the day, the touchdown to Vidarian Lowe. I wish we had more plays like that made you go, hey, nice job. But you said you were, as John in the car on Twitch says, per your comp to, hey, we used to always jump all over Josh McDaniels and jump down his throat whenever the Patriots wouldn't execute well or score. John in the car points out, yeah, Andy, but Josh McDaniels won.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
But, I mean.
So therefore, like.
So might Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo. They took over a team that absolutely blew.
No, Andy, I need them to win first year. They need to be amazing. Right. Fire up the duck boats. Come on, satisfy me.
They just cut another draft pick. They took over a team that's had some of the most horrific drafting you'll ever see. They had a 4-win team a year ago. They're on pace to have more wins than that team, and they have a franchise quarterback, something that team couldn't find after Tom Brady. So I feel like they're ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
yeah.
All this, like, comparing Drake May and Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt to the dynasty, when the dynasty died a half a decade ago when Tom Brady left town and this team became crappy and terrible. That's what you should compare it to. The crap that preceded it, not the dynasty that preceded the crap. This is a crap transition, not a dynasty to crap transition. Crap, crap, crap. I'm just going to keep saying crap on the radio.
Joe, would you do me a favor? I'm not even going to whisper it in your ear like we do as professionals on the radio. Just go ahead and say this is a crap transition. So whenever we move to different topics or have segues, I'm just letting everyone. You know what? Why not, Andy? It feels like the kind of Sunday where people probably want to get a peek behind the curtain and figure out how exactly the radio sausage is made. So let's go ahead and save that one off and reuse that one later on in the program.
That doesn't annoy you? It probably doesn't because you're part of those you people group.
Here it is.
Josh McDaniels won.
We haven't even gotten through the first season with a rookie quarterback.
I'm presenting what our listenership is talking about. Isn't that my job? To sort of try to facilitate and bring everyone together, aggregate all the thoughts from text
I'm
line.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at John in the car.
But you used me as a you shot the messenger in the process.
I know. It happens. You know?
You know, I have feelings too.
The waitress doesn't cook the food, but you might yell at her.
I mean.
This is a crap transition.
Now you're going to have to guess. Did Andy just say it or did Braverman play it?
I'm gonna call for that when Arcan's making a bad transition from one segment to the other. I'm gonna have Stiz roll a crap transition.
Hey, Andy, you're staring me right here in the face. I didn't hear you talk.
This is a crap transition.
Hey, Coach Mayo, do you think it's fair for us to use Andy sound bites against him when he's actually live here on the show?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it.
All right, well.
He's avoiding it.
We have to have some fun with this because it's disappointing to cover a crap transition.
That kind of answer from Mayo is definitely.
This is a crap transition.
All right. Now we're beating the dead horse.
You're overusing it. Yeah.
You know what?
I'll take
no guff from you. Thank you very much. Let's go back to the phones, Andy. We got lots of people calling from all over, from Fall River down to Australia, where our good friend Jake checks in. Hi, Jake. How are you?
Hey, you going, guys?
Happy Monday, my friend.
Oh, happy Sunday, kind of happy Sunday to you.
It's not bad.
Listen, it was happy for me. I saw them compete better than I expected against the Rams, and I saw Drake May look really good until the last throw.
I will say I predicted 24-23 Patriots. I almost got 29-28, so it was a 58.5-minute game, which is great. Andy, you know what Andy's prediction for the game was, Jake? 30-13 Rams.
What was it?
He predicted 30-13 Rams.
I thought we were on our way after that strip sack. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought the strip sack touchdown.
What are you doing?
But I'll tell you this, no one cares but me. Third straight Patriots game that I've cha-ching cashed in by
that is a super nobody cares but you moment. Thanks for sharing.
Trivia. Yeah,
that was a big. my pinky is waving at you right now.
He's extra because he extra fancy girlfriend. So Jake, what's on your mind, my guy?
So Andy was talking about how he felt AVP did all right today. But he did okay, but that last 2 minutes, that was like the worst 2 minute drill I've ever seen in our lives.
Okay, you can't have everything.
I know you can't have everything, but it just seemed like he has occasionally like a couple of good plays here, and then all of a sudden he calls horrible plays.
I'm going to take this in a totally different direction, Jake. I bet you never have thought you would hear this. I was bragging about you, Jake, this week to somebody that I met. You're like, what? Really? I met a man from Australia, a young man who's visiting his girlfriend who happens to live nearby, and I know her father. And we were talking, and I said, hey, I know a guy from Australia. Well, I said, I don't really know him, but he calls our post-game show after every single Patriots game. Jake from Australia. So, I talked up my Australian friend Jake to another Australian friend of mine this week. How about that?
And did she say, oh, I know Jake from Australia?
No. It was the damnedest thing. I was like, I thought it was a small island.
2 degrees of separation. They might not know me, but I know someone that knows them. That's for sure.
Oh, for
exactly.
sure. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So, Jake, you weren't happy with the play calling today, huh? Especially, I was critical of it in the second half as well myself, yes.
And the D as well. Like, what were we doing? What were we calling, so to speak?
Yeah.
Like, the all-out blitz?
It was an okay coach game, but it wasn't a great coach game.
I was more critical of Mayo and Covington. I don't really like the all-out blitz there, and then to not get there. When you all-out blitz and don't get there, well, we've seen it before, and we'll see it again. You got problems, and you had problems. You gave up a big play touchdown behind you, especially when you don't have the greatest of corners behind you. I love Jonathan Jones, but I think we can say Jonathan Jones might be starting to lose a step. Is that
he
fair
shouldn't
to say
be on the out? He shouldn't be. Jake, I appreciate the call, my friend. Have a great Monday. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Good night, Mike.
You too.
All right, take care now. Jonathan Jones shouldn't be on the outside. Jonathan Jones is a slot cornerback that is being pressed into duty on the outside.
He also have two slot corners and only one regular corner. So what are you going to do?
Whose fault is that?
Belichick.
Also, Elliot Wolf.
I just blame Bill for everything.
You could have traded the pick you used on Jalen Polk for Ladarius Sneed and paid the man, and then this wouldn't be an issue. You'd have a much better football team. That's what I begged for this offseason. What did I get instead? Marcellus
Dial. You wanted a wide receiver.
I wanted Ladd McConkey, and then I would have traded our third-round draft pick for Ladarius Sneed.
Okay.
Yeah, and?
Hasn't Sneed had a bad year?
No, he's been great, except he got hurt.
Oh, I thought he had a bad year. I thought I was reading something that he wasn't playing very well.
They have an excellent secondary in Tennessee, the Nashville, the Tennessee Titans. Anyway, long story short.
You hate Elliot Wolf.
I do not.
You do?
I don't. I'm a little disappointed with the... No, I do trust him to a degree.
I don't.
You don't?
I do not trust him with a top 10 pick and $137 million, but that does lead me to my dream.
Oh, here we go, folks. Before we have to catch up on trending sports news, one of the two teases we promised to pay off here in the top of the 5 o'clock hour on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy's dream. We'll have to get to the, quote, sneaky dink later.
So picture it. Once upon a time, I thought the target was a Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver who's about to hit free agency, and his name was T. Higgins.
Still is.
I've changed my target.
What? Well, this is like, I don't want to use the breaking news sounder to make people think something significant happened in Boston sports, but you knocking yourself off the T. Higgins spot is just slightly under significant.
I am talking myself into the idea that with Jamar Chase's dominance, his lack of a contract, and potential frugal stupidity in Cincinnati, You offer them your first-round pick, so they think they can go get McMillan or Travis Hunter to pair with T. Higgins, because I think they're starting to wonder if they can afford Ja'Marr Chase, whose price tag goes up every time, especially plays the Ravens when he puts up 200-plus yards every time he plays the Ravens. I am starting to wonder if you offered a top six pick, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and then paid Ja'Marr Chase $150 million or whatever it takes, could I dream? Could I dream? Could a young boy from Dartmouth, Massachusetts dream about Ja'Marr Chase pairing up with Drake May?
You know, when the Cincinnati Bengals got jobbed and lost by a point when they went for two against the Ravens in the previous Thursday night football affair, not this past week's Thursday night game, that was kind of a dud. So 10 days back, I tweeted after the game, Ja'Marr Chase may very well be the first $40 million a year receiver in the NFL. Mayo, Wolf, please pay the man if you're given the opportunity.
You get a trade for him.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't care.
I think that's kind of ridiculous to trade a top 10 pick for a guy you have to hand $150 million to.
I'm for it, 100%.
He might be good enough. He might be important enough. He might be the guy you pair with Drake May to truly change the trajectory of this franchise. And I don't know if Mike Brown is frugal enough to do it, dumb enough to do it, however you want to describe what it would take for him to do that. But we've seen teams think too hard about receivers. You know, A.J. Brown got traded out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. What a debacle-y dumb decision. I made up a word there. Debacle-y. Debacle-y dumb decision that was.
Did you just say debacle-y?
Debacle-y. It rhymes with broccoli.
That's what it sounds like a three-year-old calls that ugly green vegetable on their plate. I don't want to eat debacle-y.
No more debacle-y.
Okay, on the season, Andy, 10 games, 981 receiving yards, 10 touchdowns. To me, that's worth a first-round pick.
Well, but it's not just the first-round pick. It's the first-round pick and $150 million.
Yeah, okay, so?
It's just money.
It's just money. They have $140 million of it to spend next year.
No, but the $150 I'm saying is full contract. You're right. You're only going to have to give him $40 million. Only $40 million. Like, you give him $40 million, you still have $97 million.
Oh, yeah, you'll still have about $100 million. You can then go out and get the best guard on the market with all due respect to Mike Onwenu, the quote-unquote best offensive tackle or best offensive lineman that was available last year in free agency that you gave $19 million a year to, not having exactly a banner year. He is also getting thrown all over the formation. Michael Jordan, giant human being, okay, probably a good swing guard maybe to have on the roster, but there's a lot of guys that are being pressed into starting duty on this offensive line that don't belong there. Someone's going to have to play center next year. I'm not sure if David Andrews is going to be able to come back.
I don't even care about all that because I saw the Cincinnati Bengals go to the Super Bowl when they had Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and a great passing attack.
And T. Higgins.
Yeah. Guess what? We'll find somebody else. But I'm pretty sure that Ja'Marr Chase would turn his head when the ball was thrown his way in a two-minute situation trying to drive to a winning touchdown.
He wouldn't even cough.
He would just catch the ball in stride on the way to the end zone. So I will take Ja'Marr Chase and figure out the line later because that is a game-changing talent. And I'm starting to worry about the ability to find the tackle and just force the tackle, sort of like the caller we had, Dan. Just take the top tackle. Not if he's not good enough. So put your assets to best use. Sometimes you need to change the plan. And if the plan changes and another opportunity presents itself, be ready to pounce. Because I will say, if Ja'Marr Chase starts to get into a real standoff situation with the Bengals and trade becomes even the faintest of options.
Oh, my God. Cincinnati will burn and it's going to smell like chocolate chili.
That's fine. That's not our problem. I don't really give a rat's cutucus about Cincinnati.
It may waft all the way out this way. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Well, if it wafts this way, guess what? We'll also
then
be winning football.
Then it docks this way.
Going to waft this way.
This is definitely the weirdest post-game show we've had to date.
I know. Are you on drugs?
No, I'm tired. Okay, let's try to get back on the rails if we can even find him at this point. Let's waft this way. Yes, I know, Joe, you're giving me the break sign. I know it's time. We're overdue for a trending sports update. I got you. Steve, Justin, Rob, you guys hang on. We'll get to your calls when we come back in just a minute. There was Andy's dream, everybody. Ja'Marr Chase in a Patriots uniform. Not so likely, but I hate to say it. I love the plan. Now we'll get to the sneaky dink and everything else on the other side. But first, speaking of sneaky dinks, hey, it's Joe Braverman.
I mean, the coaches came in, told me what the game plan was. I mean, I never look at it as surprised or upset or anything. You know, I'm doing what they want me to do. Whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to go out there and do my best to do.
Patriots star cornerback Christian Gonzalez. Is this generic workout music?
This is actually the instrumental version of California Girls.
It is?
You didn't know that?
Oh, well, no.
You well, since we're playing the LA Rams.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're going to get a theme. You're going to get a theme here with all these rejoins.
Because it just sort of... Oh, all right, very good. Like when we played all the British... There, all right, now it sounds...
Told you,
like
not
okay.
A sneaky dink. It's obvious.
Did you hear him almost die during the trending?
Oh, no. Producer Dowdy choked on his own words.
Tighten it up.
Once again, the Six Rings postgame show is brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. Find it all and more at McFarlandEnergy.com. So that was Christian Gonzalez talking about the coach's decision not to have him pick one or the other between Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp and try to man up on him all day long, veritably erasing that receiver. Rather, they had him kind of on DeMarcus Robinson more because that's who you want to make sure doesn't beat you at the end of the day. To me, you know, where either you or I coaching Andy, I imagine we probably would have said before the game or heading into the week, like, look, if it's going to be a DeMarcus Robinson game or we get beat by DeMarcus Robinson, so be it. But I'm not letting their best guys beat us. Well, guess what? Of the 295 yards passing that Matthew Stafford had on his, quote, okay day, as you called it earlier, Andy, 230 of them went to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. So dare I say, it's okay to question the decision. Also, this from our friend, well, I believe the best of the aggregators out there on the Twix platform, our friend Carlos, Los Talks Pats, who always joins us with some fun stuff on the Six Rings podcast each and every week. Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez against the Rams wide receivers today. Cooper Kupp, he only covered him on 7 routes run. There were 4 targets, 2 catches, and only 9 yards. Versus Puka Nacua, 2 routes run, 1 target, 1 catch for 10 yards. Why in the world, if someone is good enough to cover each of those guys to that degree, why in the world would you waste a talent like his on DeMarcus Robinson or zone coverage, Andy?
I don't really have an answer. I mean,
and that's
some of
the
it,
game, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
I mean, it's a good question. I don't
it is
to
a very
it.
Good question. Okay.
I do want to get into it.
Let's do it. That's what we're here for.
I mean, we oversimplify this because if you're going to, are you going to play man across the board? So you're going to man up who with the other receiver? Let's just say you put Christian Gonzalez on Cooper Kupp. Who are you manning up Puka Nacua with?
I'm doubling Nacua.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. I'm going to double Nacua. I'm going to say Gonzo, pick one between the two. Who do you want to shadow this week is all yours. Maybe you want to have him on Puka Nacua and double Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp is just such a good route runner. And allow me, Andy, for just a quick second. I said it online. I said it out loud at the stadium several times before driving back to our lovely studios here in Brighton. And now I want to say it again on the postgame show. To each and every Patriots fan who a few weeks ago, when there were rumors or, you know, whatnot going on, like, ooh, the Patriots might be interested in trading for Cooper Kupp. He could be available. And there were so many Pats fans in every reply, wherever possible, do not want. Why would you ever want to trade for a 32-year-old wide receiver that's washed? Hey, quick question. I know the guy's injury-prone, hasn't played a full season in a couple of years, but when he's healthy, he's a top 7 receiver in the NFL. Did he look washed? Did he look broken down? Did he look like someone today that couldn't improve your offense overall or give some proper companionship and guidance to your freaking quarterback of the future who's playing his ass off with an inferior group of wide receivers today? No. So you know what? You can take that take and blow it out your back door because I thought it sucked.
Wow, you're fighting with you people now.
I am.
You created these people, or at least helped to create these people,
and
now you're fighting with them.
Well, I thought it was a terrible take. If I'm not allowed to at least, you know, I own all my bad takes, of which there are several.
It takes forever to own those.
Shut up. And then,
oh, like you perfectly own yours, Andy?
I always do. Is there anything I have not admitted?
0-17.
I dealt with that in week one. And you people were such lacking in confidence that you didn't really come after me. People should be ashamed of that.
Do we think 3-14 is still on the table?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Wanted to give you a chance.
I mean, they're running out of winnable games. People told me they were going to the playoffs. They were going to go 6-1. So they're going to go 6-0 the rest of the way, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait. She's a lovely person, lovely and talented, the wonderful Miss Courtney Go-Go Cox on the morning show. By the way, what is up with, I'm looking at Andy on a screen in our studio, and we have Twitch up. I check the text line, which is behind me. I see the call screen here. I got my notes all over the place. We got a lot of stuff going on. Why the hell does Twitch just go to ads randomly? I'm looking at Andy, and now I see a Roomba.
Ooh, you need one?
I do. At the rate my kids spill rice, pasta, and Parmesan cheese on the floor, and with the dog not able to get to all of it, a Roomba would be fantastic. Do you have one? Do you have a robotized vacuum?
I do. My wife.
Wow. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Butker here on WEI.
No, I do not have a Roomba. Listen. You make it cleanly through a trending, and then you can play the crickets. Until then, play the crickets for your damn trendings.
Okay. Well, just
fired back. This is a crap transition.
Thank you very much, Andrew. That was strange how that happened. But anyway, more to the point, I think it was a bad decision not to put Gonzo on somebody today because both receivers got you where it hurt. Two touchdowns.
I'm also not sure
and one
worked.
For no two for Cup. I mean, but okay, is this not a growth year? Is this year not about trying to figure out what you have?
I watched Gonzalez fail to cover Cup in the end zone, and Stafford just missed him. And so ML football will put like, oh my God, Gonzalez shuts down Cup. No, actually, Stafford missed him for a touchdown. I actually didn't think Gonzo had the greatest of day. I thought he was part of a very mediocre pass defense. And you're right. All those people telling us these guys are washed and injury prone, well, they weren't today, and they weren't really last week. They never got in the end zone against Miami, but those two combined for like 15 or 16 catches for 150 yards last week. They are hitting their stride. They're getting back to being the tough-to-cover duo that they were a couple years ago.
Yeah, they're both incredibly difficult to cover. It's great to see both of them healthy because it's more fun just watching them play football. It sucks when they play that great football against your team and end up leading to your team's demise, but I don't know. I was curious, dubious, dare I say. It was a dubious decision. They'll have to probably answer for it again later in the week. We'll hear what Coach Mayo has to say about it when he is on with the predictor of the Patriots playoff push, Courtney Cox, Jermaine Wiggins, Chris Scheim, Chris Curtis, Greg Hill, and a cast of thousands tomorrow on the Greg Hill Show, live from Gillette Stadium in the 9 a.m. hour. Back to the phones we go. Longtime friend of the show. And, of course, Andy's radio BFF, Steve in Fall River. Hello, Steve.
I'm going to ask you guys to remember where you were in the summer of 2006. And while you're trying to remember that, I want to tell you that they're going to lose next week. Mm-hmm. I heard some people say they're going to maybe win that last game against Buffalo because Buffalo is going to lay down. And in another life, that's never going to happen. Buffalo remembers the 3-31 that Brady hung on him. And even if they have the whole deal wrapped up, they will come out in the first half, run you out of the building, and then leave, and then sit down. They're not going to let you have a win. This is division. The division is different. Mm-hmm. The Patriots, even with Brady, were lucky to be 500 in Miami. Tua's back. That team is loaded. And they're going to have, it's going to be like a pinball game down there. Bing, bing, bing. I saw Christian Gonzalez trying to cover Ridley in Tennessee. I don't know how many plays he let happen right in front of him. Quite a lot. I'm not impressed. I wish I would have saw a little more. And when you go to a game live, you can't figure this out on TV. You have to be at the game. You have to see where he lines up. You've got to just spy the guy and see what's going on. But there was too many plays right in front of him. This really looked like he was playing against Dartmouth High School.
That's a cheap
no,
shot.
No, that was Steve. Steve, that's the first time you've made me lol during these calls. Good job.
All right. So in this long line of second-round failures that started actually in the Pete Carroll era, you had one shining light, Deion Branch. It's now called the curse of Deion Branch. Where were you guys in the summer of 06? What were you doing? Andy, I think, was working for the Patriots.
Yep.
Getting coffee for the guys in the
No, I wasn't.
What was the other fellow doing? What were you doing?
He didn't exist yet. He was still named Nick Stevens.
Who's that?
I'm Nick Stevens. I was calling up as a Hall of Fame caller in 06.
No, that's actually when I started my YouTube page.
What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing effing around with Deion Branch? Give the guy his money, a Super Bowl MVP. What did I hear on this radio station? He's not a number one. He didn't ask for number one. He asked for Randall L. money. So what did they do? They said, while he's under his control, they said, why don't you go see if you can get a contract? And what happens? Seattle, Mike Holmgren gives the number one pick to the Patriots and then gives him $32 million. And he's under the impression the Red Sox, the Patriots offered him $31 million. They offered him $1 million, and we learned, by the way, what they did when he got to camp. 5 days into his rookie season in camp, they had a handshake agreement. They watched Deion Branch, and yes, he popped 5 days into camp, and they said, No 4-year deal. You're getting a 5-year deal. Well, they added a year to his deal after his agent had agreed to a lesser deal. The Patriots were very hip on getting guys to longer deals. They, like, broke the record on that. They did it to Ben Watson.
Yep. What the hell's the point of all this?
Steve, what's the point? Steve.
Land the plane, Grandpa.
What's the point? You had a Super Bowl MVP, and Bill Belichick didn't want him. It's the curse of the
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. We have now redubbed it the curse of Deion Branch. Excellent. Even though that doesn't apply, Steve, mercy of goodness gracious. You start off a call, you got a decent point, then you even sneak in a quick laugh and a jab at Andy, and sure, then it just goes into the amble-thon. It's not the curse of Deion Branch, because Deion Branch worked out, and then they had...
His point is it's like Babe Ruth. You gave away Babe Ruth. Deion Branch.
I got it. You gave away Deion Branch Deion in the Branch second round, back. So now all second-round receivers should sink. I know, and he was actually very good for another couple of years when he came back. However, his point is you probably don't... Maybe you don't need to trade for Welker because you hold on to Deion Branch. Who knows how that would have affected things. Win that 2006 Super Bowl if you have him as opposed to, I don't know, Crazy Eyes Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, Doug Gabriel.
Probably true. But then you probably don't get the 07 team, because the 07 team was a reaction to the 06. So
yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, butterfly effect, it changes everything.
Okay, long story. It took too long to get there. Calling it the curse of Deion Branch, that all second-round receivers would flame out after that because of what you did with him. Okay, fine.
Now, how does that explain N'Keal Harry?
Well, he was a first-round pick.
That's my point. Maybe they just suck at drafting receivers and there's no stupid curse.
How about that? All right, 617-779-7937 is your number. When we come back, we'll get a quick check-in from our friend Megan Ottolini, fresh from the locker room at Gillette Stadium. We'll give us a little vibe check on how everybody was handling the 28-22 defeat at the hands of the Rams today. Mego checking in with Fitzy and Hart here on the Six Rings postgame show. When we come back, don't you go anywhere. We got a call from Mego, checking in on the road. She's going to tell us how everything went on our show. Oh. And then Andy and Fitzy will talk and probably get into a fight.
That's not bad right there.
Okay. All right. I'm improving, all right?
You got better. You did.
Why don't you shut up? And you can turn around and complain to your yellow pup. Is the dog in the room with you? Oh, he left. He didn't like the show. Did my song.
Some guy was singing.
Again, we can never promise you it'll be the most accurate. It'll be the most statistical, but it'll always be the... Well, you can't say most unique, because once something is unique, it's one in and of itself. Well, it'll be something. And joining us now to actually try to get it back on the rails and make it a proper post-game show... Live somewhere between the stadium and home, after having spoken in the locker room to some of the Patriots players and partaken in the coverage at Gillette today following the 28-22 loss at the hands of the Rams, the one and only Miss Megan Ottolini, my pal on the weekends, and of course from the Monday night in the WEEI evening program. Hi, Mego.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It sounds like you're commiserating over there with some interesting music that you're creating.
Yeah, we're just vibing along with the night, trying to give everyone some some appropriate companion radio on the way home after a game that went a million different ways. Like, I think I'm still kind of stuck right now, Mego, not knowing exactly how to feel, because at first I thought they come out, great drive, they go up 7-0. Things look great. Drake is on full display. Then the Rams have their way. They could have made it at least 17-10, if not 20-10 before the half. They get the doink and whatever else. But Then the touchdown in the third quarter, like, well, this one got away quickly. I liked it better when it was 7-0. Then the Pats come back. You get the big guy touchdown from Lowe. I don't know. Like, it was kind of all over the place. I feel like this is the ride we're going to have to strap into for at least the rest of this year and maybe a good portion of next year. Like, there's just not enough talent on the team, so be ready to get tossed and turned all over the place.
Yeah, I agree with that. Honestly, like, my main takeaway from what you want to measure this game up to is that the Rams aren't a great team, but they have experience and they have talent, and those are two things that you really don't have.
Yep.
That was the difference in this game. And where you do have talent, and say Drake May, you don't have the experience. So it was nice of the defense to finally wake up in the fourth quarter and John Jones make a nice stop and Keon White, you know, tip a nice pass and deflect a pass. Like, it was nice to have those plays and put the ball in your rookie quarterback's hands for the last 2 minutes. But at the same time, you know, this is a turnover prone quarterback who is very early in his stages of development. So, like, if I look at my main takeaway from the game, and I just wrote this for WEI.com, I think you just have to be disappointed with that, like, squishy middle of the game from the defense. I thought the defense fell apart fast, and the offense had their own mistakes, but the defense really gave the game away today for me.
Okay, speaking of waking up, should Pop Douglas wake up, I don't know, look for the ball when he's down the middle of the field? How far did he think he was going to be able to run before he had to expect the football? Because I know that's going to be a play that's probably debated, analyzed, and Drake May said miscommunication, and you know, you had Pop Douglas put it on both of them. To me, the receiver has to get on the same page as the quarterback. That's how passing games need to work. What was your take on that play?
Sounds very much like a former quarterback, Andy.
I am not a former quarterback. I'm the father of a quarterback currently, but I look at it that way. Like, the receiver needs to see the game through the quarterback's eyes, not the other way around. And I don't know if it would have mattered. I really don't know how good a throw it was, but I think you'd have a better chance of making the play if the receiver was looking for the football.
Yeah, they looked like it. I buy it was a miscommunication. Where they looked like they were on totally different pages, where in real time when it was happening, it was kind of like head scratching to watch at the stadium, because you're like, wait, what just happened? What was that?
Yep.
Obviously, it's a pick from Drake May, but it wasn't even close. And so I'm sure that there's some, if you want to like slice up the blame pie between those two, it's possible that Pop Douglas has a bigger share than Drake, and that Drake was the one who was actually doing what everybody agreed on. But at the end of the day, it's like, these are two super young, inexperienced players for the most part, and you're putting the game in their hands. And quite frankly, this is what happens with young, inexperienced teams who are also shaky on talent outside of maybe those two players, Hunter Henry and a collection of others like Christian Gonzalez, who, by the way, I know all the proper beat writer guys were losing their minds quietly in the press box about Christian Gonzalez being out on the boundary on the other side for most of the game when Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are over there and Marcus Jones and Del Pettis and these guys like can't even, you know, get anywhere near these guys for the most part in the second and third quarter. And all of a sudden, you're down a couple touchdowns. I think that final play, I agree with you, is going to be analyzed for the next 3 or 4 days, I'm sure, and there'll be a lot of discussion around it. But I just think the middle of the game is where everything really fell apart.
Yeah, and I think he got a little jittery as well, considering that he held on to the ball too long on second down and took that sack that you can't really take, which cost them time. Actually, I think they had to use their final timeout on that as well. So, that's just an experience right there talking for Drake. And we're speaking with Megan Onalini here from WEI.com and many radio programs on the Six Rings postgame show. Patriots also were not able to generate a pass rush at all today. Like, I didn't feel like Stafford was harried or hurried nearly enough. And what did they have any sacks on the day? I don't think they had any sacks on the day. Like, that's coming off nine last week. Jeez.
Right. And that's where I think last week I said that I thought that they were a bit of a paper tiger. And so the defense, because of what they were going up against in an extremely dysfunctional and injured Bears team, they still had a great performance last week. This week, I think they finished the game with just 4 quarterback hits. As you said, no sacks. Matthew Stafford just looked cool as a cucumber after maybe the first 2 drives. that they were out there. And so, you know, he had all day. And he got a little moment to get his team right for the most part. Again, I don't think the Rams are, like, a great team. I don't think they're quite as bad as their record before tonight had shown them to be. But the difference, it really is just the experience, some of the talent that you have on offense with those weapons over there that you certainly don't have on your own team. And also the experience, I'll say this, the experience of the play calling, the experience of the coaching on the other side. Because I do think that there were some questionable moments, and Jerod Mayo defended them post-game, saying, I'm going to make my decisions of what I think are best, and they're not always going to be popular. So he seems to be strong in those sentiments today. We'll see what he says tomorrow. He's strong in those sentiments today, but it's experience top to bottom. This is just one of those games to me that's kind of like a gut check. The Patriots, I don't think, are a playoff team. They're in development. Yep. This is the highs and lows of being in development.
You took a little shot at Jerod Mayo there, and I think it was warranted about
just a little sly.
Well, does he coach to win?
He was very adamant post.
No, yeah, he's adamant post game. We'll see if he's adamant on the Greg Hill show or with the Zoom with reporters in the morning. That's a fair question about the head coach. Oh, I meant we were playing inexperienced. We are not inexperienced. He'll tweak it some way to try to soften the blow.
Well,
but they are.
Saying, he said, you know, they coach to win. That he coaches to win, and I believe that, but. Coaching to win can be interpreted different ways. I don't know what the decisions are behind the scenes. Are analytics or previous experience in other games telling you when to go for it when you're on the 2-yard line and when to settle for a field goal? You know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm sure he's prepared to get picked apart because of the loss over the next 48 to 72 hours.
And because he's Jerod Mayo and doesn't have any resume or cachet to fall back on, right? He can't sit on some Belichickian high horse and flash a couple Super Bowl rings across and say, you know, I've been there and done that. Who the hell are you to question me? And it was a great question by Ben Volen. But the reality is Jerod Mayo is still finding his way, just like you mentioned the players are. But I do think the idea, like, I coach to win the game is sort of – it's almost the Bill Belichick, I do what's in the best interest of the football team. No, you do what you think is in the best interest. That doesn't mean it's right. The scoreboard can prove it wrong, or simple analysis could prove it wrong. And did you think Jerod Mayo had a bad day? I guess I'll say it that way.
I actually don't, because I think at the very end of things, he still had his team in this game. And I just am looking at, okay, this day, where does it play into the bigger picture of who this team is right now? The way that this team looked against Jacksonville and coming back from London, I was really worried about them. I was like, holy crap, Drake May can have a day and they're going to be down multiple scores. And so I'm not saying that this is a moral victory or anything. I'm not saying that. Like, this was a game that they could have had. But I still think that, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's because of what I feel like it is. It's the experience and the talent on the other side. And, yeah, Jerod Mayo is less experienced than Sean McVay, but I still think that he showed enough out there today and has been successful in trying to build and establish his culture in the team, really since those soft comments, which he also walked back a little bit,
yep.
Where I think it's he's still okay. You know, like, I think he's much better off even after this loss today than he was, say, after that Jacksonville game.
We'll get you out on this, Mego. Did you get a chance to speak with any players, and what was the general mood like? If so, how are the players taking today's game where they did still have a shot at the end but just weren't able to deliver?
You know, I think it's one of those games where it's kind of the opposite of the second Jets game when every part of the team felt like they had a hand in the win.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a game where every unit feels like they had a hand in the loss, whether it's giving up chunk plays on special teams or giving up chunk plays on defense,
yep.
Or whether it's Drake May with another strip sack that was very costly, or the interception when he had the chance between him and DeMario Douglas, whoever shares the blame there at the very end of the game. You know, I do think that there is enough accountability in that locker room after a loss like this where everybody isn't walking away pointing fingers, more pointing thumbs and saying, like, we all share a little part in this loss and it sucks. And so I think that's why I walk away from it being not totally confident in saying, like, oh, what a bad day for the coaching staff or a bad day for Jerod Mayo, even though I personally disagreed with some of the decisions that they made at different points in the game. I still think that the most important thing is to have a cohesive locker room where everybody believes in the task at hand and guys aren't trying to poison the well or second guess. And I don't really get that vibe.
Yeah, that's good to hear, as was Drake May in his postgame presser propping up Jalen Polk, who had a pretty brutal fourth quarter with mistakes made on a third and fourth down consecutively as well. Like, that
guy is like, he's in quicksand, man. Like,
he is.
Drake May is trying to throw him a branch to get out, but it's almost at the point now where I feel for Polk because I don't even know how he gets out of this at this point. It just feels like it is quicksand.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough one for sure. All right, I look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. Mego and I will be on right after Arcan and Hart on the WEI Afternoon Show, the evening program with Fitzy and Hart tomorrow from Fitzy and Mego from 6 to 7:30. Sorry about that. Thanks for checking in, buddy.
Unless Andy wants to jump in, that's fine.
Nope, I'm good. Thanks. Yep. Have fun. Two enjoy each other.
4 hours is 4 hours is enough. I don't think he needs to do 5.5. Mego, thanks for calling. Always appreciate it. Give her a follow at Megan_Ottolini. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks. Megan Ottolini checking in on the Six Rings postgame show. 617-779-7937 if you would like to use your telephone and call in and chat with us. When we come back, Andy is going to finally pay off the old sneaky dink tease from the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll get a little bit more into that defensive game plan, the play calling. And Andy, guess what? I'm going to give you a tease you're going to want to hear. Someone else just joined the Drake May is going to be a stud party. And you may have actually laid eyes on him today. We'll get to all of that when we come back and more. 6:30, Chris Scheim, Drake May report card. Don't miss it here on the Six Rings Postgame Show.